Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. Welcome back to today's episode of Beauty Revival. Today, my episode is called 19 Years of Love, Juicy's Miracle Story. And it is the story of my Maltese, who lived to be 19 and just died a couple days ago. It has been super traumatic and just so incredibly overwhelming. But that's why my podcast was late this week. But after recovering enough to decide on my next episode, I thought it's pretty clear that it has to be on this. And as sad as a topic that it is, it's also something that so many of us go through and something to be celebrated and not just mourned. So I'll tell you my story about Juicy and hopefully, it won't bum you out. I'll try to make it uplifting because, wow, she just brought so much joy to our lives. First of all, she got her name Juicy because my ex-husband got her for my daughter when she was only 4 years old, and my daughter's 23 now. So you can imagine how she feels. She's had Juicy since she named her when she was 4 years old. And it's funny, the dog just kind of always acted like she was mine. And when he had brought the litter to the house, he had brought like three or four for her to pick from. And I immediately knew the one I wanted her to get. It was the bigger of the bunch. And I just had a really good feeling about her. And I kind of pushed her in that direction and she did pick Juicy. So she's just been with me through so much. I mean, the amount of houses that we've lived in with her, we were counting back just the amount of life that she's lived with us over 19 years. She has just been such a blessing. And I have so many great memories. One of my best memories of her is the amount of road trips we did together. And my daughter lived in LA for at least 3 years, where I was constantly driving back and forth from Phoenix, Arizona area to where she was in LA, which is about a 6 or 7 hour road trip. And she was always just so good. I mean, so good. I took her to San Diego many times too. My friend had a beautiful house in La Jolla and we used to go stay with her. And anyway, she was just so easy. You know, you just pick her up, put her in the front seat. Just the easiest dog, always smiling, always just such a grounding force for me. And a lot of times you don't realize until they're gone, like just how much they hold you up energetically. But I'll cut straight to the miracles. Again, in the beginning years of our divorce, she did go back and forth a little bit with my daughter when she would go to his house. But at some point, they just started leaving her with me. And it truly was the difference between me being sad when my daughter went off to, obviously, I was sad still, but to me just being 100% okay because of Juicy. She just took that position of like my little buddy, my little BFF. And as little as she was, like 8 pounds, her energy, I always called her tiny but mighty. She just had this massive energy. She was so incredibly tough. And I talk a little bit about, I had told the story before about my wolf that I had. We used to breed wolves years and years ago. And I had my wolf Chili Pepper die when she was only 6 years old. And it was so traumatizing to me. And I ended up going vegetarian over it. And I'm going to talk about that again at the end. But when she died, I had it in my mind. It was like a year later, I wanted another dog. And I had it in my mind. I wanted a big white dog, huge, that I could name Halo. And I didn't know of a big white breed or anything. And it was probably a week later, I saw somebody walking this dog that looked exactly like what I wanted. And I went up to them and asked what the dog was. And it was a Kuvas, which is a Hungarian sheepdog. And basically, they gave me the name of a breeder. And my husband at the time went up to, I think it was Prescott, Illinois. I grew up in Illinois, Prescott, Arizona, where we went to the breeder. And it was the same kind of thing where we went out to see the litter. And I just knew the one I wanted was like the shy, quiet one, kind of lurking in the back. I just didn't want an obnoxious dog. And I picked her, and she was the perfect dog, Halo. We had her for 12 years. She was like 140 pounds, just the world's nicest dog, amazing with my daughter. And it was around when my daughter was four that she finally died, and we had to have somebody come to the house and put her down because she was so big we couldn't take her into the vet anymore. And the day that she died, an owl came and flew on the rafter. We had big, like, floor-to-ceiling glass windows in our living room with like these rafters right outside, made out of steel. And an owl came and sat there the entire time while they came in to put her down. And I just knew it was, you know, divinely orchestrated. That's one of my words. So anyways, it was super tough. But at the same time, when you do have a dog and they live that long of a life and you know that they're suffering, she had had hip dysplasia and was having a hard time walking. It was tough. And so I was not at all prepared to get another dog. I was like, there's no possible way. And it was my ex-husband who had, like I said, gone ahead with the Maltese. And it was because my daughter wanted a little dog. And I had always had just big ones. But anyways, there was a lot of positives about having a little dog. And one last quick thing I'll share. After I got my Kuvas, I was looking up and researching them. And they truly are the only dog that can take on a wolf. So I really felt like Chili Pepper, like that energy evolved. And it was just, you can't trump having a wolf, but a Kuvas actually is. And the energy of Juicy was that same, you know, even though she was only 8 pounds, it was just so incredibly fearless and mighty and just, you know, was my total strength. So it was just interesting to see the different, you know, dogs and how they come in. When Juicy was 14, she had a collapsed trachea. And, you know, we were like, obviously, she's 14, like, this is the end of the line. And the vet had said there was nothing they could do about it. And, you know, she would choke and cough and choke, and it was horrible. So I had to let my daughter know, like, we had to say goodbye to her. And my daughter had to drive home from LA with one of her friends because she was very attached to Juicy. She was always worried about something happening to her, and she would always text me and say, "How's Juicy? How's Juicy? How's Juicy?" And for several years after that, too, I'd have to prove that she was okay by showing a photo or FaceTime or something. And so when I had to give her the news that it was like the end of the line, it was horrible. So she, her friend and her drove back from LA. And when they got in the house, you know, I just had this thought, like, I'm going to pray to Jesus to heal Juicy and to let it be a testimony for my daughter. I wanted her to see that Jesus did it for her. And I prayed this prayer, and then I also selfishly, I asked for 3 more years after I said the prayer. I said, please, Jesus, heal her. And this was such a greedy, bold prayer, but I said, and give us 3 more years. And sure enough, he completely healed her 100%. And she went on to live for not only 3 more years, but 4 more years afterwards. And I've talked a lot about how clearly God communicates with me, how clearly Jesus communicates with me. I've told you so many stories of him coming in my room and turning the lights on and always letting me know when it's him that's responsible for something too. It could be something I prayed about and then I forgot that I prayed about it. And he'll let me know. There's lots of different ways. I can do another video on all the ways that he lets me know, but that it was because of a prayer that I had prayed, that it was him that had answered it. So anyways, in the course of the next like 3 years, there were some other things that happened with her. And I never knew, you know, how much longer we would have. I had prayed for that 3 years. I didn't know if that would be answered. I knew that he healed her 100%. And there were a few other things that happened. One time she had really hurt her back leg. And I forget how, falling off of something. It was like very badly sprained and she was hopping around on it. And I have so much confidence that my prayers are answered that when they're not, I literally get shocked. And I had prayed for her leg to be healed. And it wasn't. And it was like a few days later and I prayed again and it was maybe a week later. And I just had this thought, like, in what world is it okay for her to be suffering? And so I said a prayer again and I was like, Jesus, you know, this isn't benefiting anyone for her to be in pain right now. She's just a little dog hopping around like, please, I need you to fix this, to heal her entire leg. And please do it now. She can't just keep suffering. And literally, he did it right then and there. Like right then and there, she was fine after I said that prayer. And then there was another kind of scary situation with her. And I don't know if I've talked much, a little bit in my podcast about spiritual warfare, but I have so much material on that. And I've gone through so much spiritual warfare and I've learned so much about spiritual warfare. And at this particular point, I had gone for the weekend. I love yoga. I did yoga for 20 years. And to not segue into another complete episode, I'll make it super brief. I just started getting convicted that we weren't supposed to do yoga as Christians. And a few times on and off over the years, I had started and stopped it and just kind of talked myself into, what harm could it be? And I would kind of fall back into it. And I really loved the workout of it. I didn't do like the Hindu, you know, Sanskrit, Bikram, but it was more like power yoga with, you know, heat and loud rock music was pretty much the kind of yoga that I did. But the conviction just kept getting higher and higher until I eventually just quit completely. And I did watch lots of videos and I read books, and there's a lot of information out there that explains exactly why we're not supposed to, which I won't get into now. But I was like, okay, Lord, I'm done with yoga. And I gave it up. And I'm very athletic. I still do Orange Theory. And lately I've been doing hot works stretch. I do hot stretch in the sauna, which that's how I get my yoga fix, one of the ways. But I had seen that this retreat was coming up. There's this woman, Shannon Yvette, out of Malibu, and she has a ministry, and I love her. I've done her writing workshop retreats before. A lot of my book, I got a good foundation of it down during her writing workshops, which are like for Christians and connecting to your mission and just taking a whole weekend, taking the time out to write whatever you were being called to write. And so I happened to see her on YouTube and she was announcing this new training that she was like offering that was yoga for Christians, and she was calling it Holy Flow. That was the branding. And they were having this, their very first like national training, and it was in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I live. And literally, they were even talking about it kicking off at like the Valley Ho Hotel, which was like, you know, blocks from where I was living at the time. And it just was so aligned that I was supposed to do this. So I was super excited. And, you know, I paid for the course. I went and did it. I loved every minute of it. And when I got back is when the warfare started, and there was a ton of stuff that happened. Some really good things, because I always talk about there being like two trains simultaneously running, like as the bombs are being thrown at you, like the blessings are thrown at you too. And for sure, there was some things that God did for me that were absolute blessings the day I got back. And again, we learned about how the yoga postures, if done in this way, the holy flow, are like worship. And when you worship, they're actual weapons. So you're doing warfare with the postures, which it just set me on fire, because I know that we have to be proactive with spiritual warfare and keep ourselves, you know, safe from attacks. And so I had a bunch of things go wrong. I don't remember what, but, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I know the difference between regular, you know, annoyances and when you're personally being targeted. And I knew I was being targeted, and I was beat up all day. I'd had a horrible day. And I was sitting at the end of my dining room table working, and I happened to look up, and I see out of the corner of my eye, my entire living room floor was covered with blood. And I was like, what on earth? And I jumped up, and I could see Juicy was right there, but she seemed fine. And then I went into the kitchen, and there was blood all over the floor in the kitchen. And so I looked at Juicy again, and I saw like she was bleeding profusely out of her ear. And this was also really weird, because this was right around when Trump was shot, and the whole thing about how much blood, like everybody was learning about how much you bleed when it comes out of your ear. But it was super, super traumatizing to see all that blood and to see her bleeding. And to this day, I don't know what happened to her. I have no idea what caused that bleeding. It was horrifying. So right away I prayed for her, you know, please, Jesus. I knew he was going to protect her, because I could see his warfare with everything else. And I said, please just, you know, protect her and keep her alive, you know. So I took her to the emergency vet, and, you know, they stitched it up and, you know, sent us on the way, didn't say what they thought happened, but she was okay. And I got this sign on my way home that literally said, miracle ear. And I knew she was going to be fine. And literally by the next morning, she was completely healed. Like you would not even have known that it happened. So anyways, it was just traumatizing. It was, you know, very stressful, but also a huge relief, like to know that I could always count on Jesus to come through for her. So when this last episode happened, and we're going into, you know, we're over 4 years now, and I would always talk about the story of how Jesus had saved her when she was 14. And I call her born again Juicy too. And I always make jokes like she's doing Bible study with me. Hey, real quick, if you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created. These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival launch listeners, and it is $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my best sellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing. And she all of a sudden went from being a perfect health, like nobody could believe how old she was. We would say to everyone, she's 19, and they would just freak out. She was just like, you know, same as she was when she was 8 years old. And all of a sudden, she was just like walking in circles and kind of banging up against the wall. And we're like, is she blind? Like, what is she doing? And then like her feet went out from under her and she was having a hard time standing. And we're like, okay, this is really crazy. But we both kind of knew right away, like that this has to be the end. And to be honest, I'd already had it shown to me very clearly that this was the end with my dog, that she was at the end of the line. But I've been persistent with other scenarios where I've been shown stuff and I've really petitioned it. And Ellie and I did try some prayers where we went into the courtroom, into the throne room, and asked for more time. And we said, we trust whatever your time frame is. We just don't see the harm in letting her stay with us longer. But now it's all making sense because there's been so many layers of this revealed to me. But we didn't want to run her right into the vet. Like, we can tell she wasn't in pain. And we just both had that feeling like if we take her into the vet, they're going to say, let's put her down. And so we're like, let's just see how she does tonight. And I literally was asking ChatGPT a lot of things, monitoring it all through chat on when we should call, when we should bring her in, and just signs to know if she was in pain or not. And she wasn't. She just started like acting super lethargic. And so we're just like, oh, this is it. It's the end of the line. And, you know, she's so cute in her little pink fluffy bed and her little pink blanket and, you know, just all of her stuff. All of our routines, her special treats, her, you know, everything. And so we just started like bringing her with us. We're like, we need to just bring her with. And there's another dog that we have too, and I won't go too far into it. It was another dog that her dad got her that used to go back and forth to her dad's. It somehow has ended up being mine, a smaller dog. And because of the two of them, it kind of has made it hard. Otherwise, we would have brought Juicy everywhere. But when you have two, it's just too much. So basically, we just didn't do that bring the dog everywhere type of scenario. So basically, the last few days, we started to, it was actually probably 48 hours, 30, a little bit more than 48 hours, 72, would that be the next one, before she completely died. But we took her to McDonald's and got her a shake and went to the park and brought a yoga mat and just rolled, put her out there on her little bed and just carried her around with us to different places. We brought her to see ducks at this other park and just kept her sleeping. Ellie was sleeping down in my room with me and we put her in between us and just keeping a super close eye on her. And that next day I said, we do have to bring her in and let's just go, you know, make sure that she's not in pain. I really didn't think she was like hours away from dying. I thought she could end up living another month or who knows. So we went into this emergency vet that I had gone into before and everything was just super aligned, which we'd already been praying about these kind of things. So I wasn't surprised. Like there was nobody waiting in front of us. They were like, oh, we can have somebody see her right away. That's considered triage. So if you want to bring her right in, and we were like, oh, this is horrible. So we brought her in and the like nurse girl came out and they did all the vitals and then the actual vet came in, couldn't have been sweeter, was like crying with us and basically said it could be cancer, it could be a tumor, but considering her age and like the state that she was in, you know, that she was at the end of the line. Like she didn't say you have to put her down right now, but she said 100%, like, you know, there's no treatment that we could do for her. And the longer you wait, the more you do risk like something else worse, you know, happening, which I didn't want to bring her home and have her, you know, experience any pain. But my daughter was just extremely distraught and was like, we're not doing this right now. And I understood her point of view, and I've been through it before. So I think, you know, I was just giving her more patience and grace with it, because this was her first time of ever having an animal die, and especially one of 19 years since she was 4 years old. It's just, you know, someone that's been with her a lifetime. So I said to her, okay, well, why don't you go back out to the car with her and I'll stay back and talk to them. So they went back out to the car. And when I talked to the vet alone, I said, okay, so what are the risks if we bring her home? And I was ready to do it right then. I just feel like I didn't want to have it looming over where now I have to do that other drive back appointment to put her down. It's just harrowing. And then my daughter had said while she was in the room, because they said they had options for that too, that she wanted somebody to come to the house. And I just didn't want to do that, because just the thought of her dying in the house and seeing it here afterwards, and just having somebody knock on the door with an appointment for death, I was like, there's just no, we're not doing it. But anyways, so then she's going over all the pricing and, you know, of course, brace yourself for that next. And I am sharing this in case anyone goes through it, because it was all the prayers were answered at every level. And whatever the order was, we did many prayers, but another very specific one we did was just that she would not be in any pain, that we would be guided very clearly on what we should do in terms of the timing, the order, how we do it. And that, you know, it would be the easiest way possible on us in every category, from financial to, you know, all of it. So when she was going over the pricing, she was doing all these printouts, and it was this much, you know, if you had her put it down there, it was like $360. And then if you wanted the ashes, the private ashes, it's another $300. And then if you wanted the paw, it's the paw print, it's another X amount. And if they come to the house, like, it started at $1,000. And so they're giving me all of these numbers, and she couldn't have been nicer. And I was just getting really crabby, because I was just the way I was reacting, you know, to the grief. And I just said, okay, you know, this is the souvenirs. I was calling them the souvenirs, and because she had to give me the pricing on all of it. And I'm just going, oh, the last thing I wanted was to have to, like, you know, have a disagreement with my daughter with opposing ways that we wanted to do it, because we both were too stressed and too emotional. And it's, you know, we wanted opposite things. I probably would have done it right then. She wanted to bring her back home. I probably would have brought her in. She wanted them to come to the house. So we weren't agreeing on anything, but we stayed calm. And I said, okay, so thank you for all the info. We'll go home and think about, you know, the best plan. So we went home that night, and we did more of the park and ice cream at McDonald's and crying. And her little, we took her on this wagon walk, which we have this, like, wagon for your groceries or whatever. And we took both of the dogs, but walked her down by the canal, and just to see her all happy going for this walk. And it made my daughter feel good that she got to have the extra time to really spoil her and do all those little moments of saying goodbye without just, you know, straight to having her put down. So that night, we went to sleep, and without going through every detail of the night, about halfway through at 4:30 a.m. or something, she had been moving around, and Ellie was holding her in her arms, and I was sleeping. But then all of a sudden, I heard this, like, raspy bark. It was like three or four barks, and she was saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom," and right then she died in her arms, and it was very traumatizing. You know, we were like, "Oh my God." But at the same time, it was all such a blessing, you know, and we were glad we didn't have to make the decision, you know, of where or how or when and that appointment. And we were able just to put her in her blanket, and we had a few hours, you know, to figure out what we were going to do next. And super, super grief stricken, but also we just kept saying, you know, it went so quickly that she died. She went from like licking her on her face to taking her last breaths. So we were so grateful that that part of the prayer was answered and that she didn't, you know, appear to suffer. If she did, it was super quick. And we didn't have to, you know, go in with an appointment and be the ones choosing the time for her to die, which my daughter was saying, it's not like we're God, but I just said, I don't care. I'm going to be practical. I'm going to put her before myself and I'm not going to be selfish. It's going to be if she even starts to suffer 1 minute, like I don't care what fire we're walking through, we're putting her down. So anyways, then the next step was to figure out the whole communal ashes or the private ashes where you get them back and just the different prices. And so since we work with the Humane Society all the time, my daughter rescues kittens from them. She's a foster and oh my gosh, she's probably rescued, you know, 40 by this point. She's very involved with the Humane Society, I thought, and I've seen it on their menu before when I've looked up different things. And so I did look up the Humane Society and they said we could bring in the ashes and it was like $180 to have her cremated. And then they had the offer for the little paw print, which I'm really glad we got, was like $30. So the whole thing was only like $230. And again, it just shows how good God is, like with the totality of the prayer. I mean, obviously, we would have spent whatever we needed to spend on her. She's worth that and more. But it's just the more stress that you have feeling like, oh, you were such a victim with this. Which last thing I want to mention that I was going to tell you in the beginning was I was supposed to be leaving the next morning on a trip for my mom's birthday. And I had already had the same trip canceled once before for my birthday in August because I had gotten really sick with some long form of COVID, which to me really felt like spiritual warfare. It went on for like over 2 weeks and then it turned into crazy allergies and it just took me out. And for me to cancel a trip, like it's just not how I do things. And so I had finally rescheduled it for my mom's birthday. And I mean, I was completely packed. I was only going for 4 days because I figured if I wait too long, you know, it's not going to happen. So I wanted to be there for her, to support her who has been dealing with my dad, and my dad has dementia and she's just been a saint. She is the most amazing woman on the planet, just does everything for everyone. And I just wanted to really be there to honor her. And it literally was the night before that all of this happened. So when it started to unfold, I was like, okay, there is no way I can leave her not knowing she's okay. And, you know, some of my original thoughts were like, this is warfare. Like, why couldn't this have happened a week before or a week after? You know, like the fact that it's going to ruin my mom's birthday and that I can't go for her. It wasn't about me, honestly. It was about her. And that was super upsetting. But once I decided by like, you know, 3 a.m. or something, there's no way. She was just not herself. So I had to cancel the trip. And my mom could not have been more amazing about it. Was like, you know, I'll still be here. Like this time with her will not be. And then I really saw the beauty in it because I was like, why was it, you know, the night before this trip? And honestly, I had my schedule cleared for the entire rest of the week. It was just so beautiful because I didn't have anyone, nothing I had to do with work. I had no other obligations. And I was able to just focus on Juicy, focus on Ellie. You know, we had like the 3 days of just total, you know, immersion and saying goodbye. And then when she died, obviously, you know, the day of her grief. And then the last day that was the first day I woke up without her is the day of the Charlie Kirk funeral on TV. And so I was going to thought about going to it, but as far as everything else I was going through, I just decided it's way too much stress. People were getting up at like getting there at like 2 a.m., 4 a.m. So, but I was so emotionally drained. I woke up, it was Sunday morning, I guess yesterday. I don't even know what day it is anymore. And I just stayed in my pajamas most of the day until about 4 o'clock. I just watched the whole Charlie Kirk you know, funeral and just cried. I mean, the grief for my Juicy, I was just, there's just no words. And then to watch Erica Kirk out there and giving her speech and thinking what she's dealing with. And, you know, you just have to give her so much credit. And again, give myself, you know, just the perspective that, you know, I had Juicy for 19 years. I mean, I know that she went to heaven. I know she's going to be there when I cross over. And then I also just realized, it was today I woke up, and with all this like Charlie Kirk activation, I've been working on my Beauty Revival book. You know, it's going to be done in the next 30 days or so. And obviously I've started this podcast several months ago, but I was like, I feel like I'm so aligned right now with my mission, having seen what happened yesterday and feeling like Charlie Kirk's death was the activation of everyone's revival. And you see it all over social media. You know, it's like all these people have been in the wings, like getting ready, and then him dying just made us all activate. So I 100% felt like that. And then with Juicy dying this morning, I felt like, you know what? I need to reactivate my whole Meatless Mondays, which was the thing that I found. I didn't start it. Paul McCartney started it in the UK, and there's all kinds of other cities in the US and in Europe, Berlin being one of them, San Francisco being one here, that do Meatless Mondays. And I had launched it with Channel 3. I was doing like Monday segments where we were having restaurants come in and just sharing different recipes for and sharing information on how eating less meat, even one day a week, how much it helps the animals, and it helps the environment, and it helps your health. And that's a completely separate podcast, book, all of that. But today I was like, you know what? This is the time. It's like her dying is reactivating that also. So I am pressing forward with my mission, reactivated with Juicy in mind and as my little soulmate spirit guide that was here until it was time for her to go. So I would just take the depth of the grief that I've been feeling, which is the equivalent to the depth of the love I feel for her, and then just combining it into action. I have to create something. I feel like, again, when you tribute something to someone, it is so powerful. And so it's just a way to channel the grief. And I also did a little bit of research on grief, you know, with your animals, and I binge watched a bunch of videos, just again, wanting to hear over and over that she's still around me, that, you know, she's still in heaven, that there's purpose behind all of this. And I did learn that grief comes in stages and in waves, and that your body can only handle so much. And like yesterday, I just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And then I was like, okay, I've got to shower. I've got to get up. I took our other dog now. She just was crowned princess of the house. I was like, okay, you are now the queen and we can start bringing you places. I brought her to my daughter's work last night, and I took her, you know, again, same kind of thing, to the park last night. We went and walked around the same area where the lakes are here in Scottsdale, where we were going with Juicy. And I'm just going to focus my love on her and being a better mommy to her. But basically, so you go through your stages of grief till you just can't take it anymore. And then, like I said, I got up, I showered, I felt good. And then they say, you know, after you're strong enough, if you give it time, you know, the waves will come back. And it's when you don't go through those stages and you end up just running out and, you know, adopting another dog to replace all of that love you want to give and put it into a new dog, you never do get the chance to go through the grief. And A quick story to demonstrate that is years ago, we had a cat and we lived out in the desert in Scottsdale, way north Scottsdale. And she had gotten out and disappeared. And that next morning, our entire backyard was surrounded by coyotes, which was clearly them coming back for more. So we figured she got eaten by coyotes. And I was so busy at the time, I never had a chance to grieve her. And again, it was a cat and nothing. I love cats, but it is different with a dog. I'm sorry. It is just different. But I didn't grieve her. And I went on vacation that summer to La Jolla with my husband, and we would go for a run in the mornings down by the beach. And we were on this run through this neighborhood, and this cat came out of the shrub that looked exactly like my cat that had died and came right up to me as sweet as could be. And I picked it up and I realized, oh my God, I never grieved my cat. His name was Ty. I was like, I never grieved him. And I cried so hard. And I walked up and down the street holding this cat. And it was so sweet. Like, what cat strange on the street lets you pick it up and hold it crying? But I just bawled and bawled until I was finished. And then I put it down. And I know without a doubt that was my cat coming to say goodbye to me. It waited until it knew I would receive it, and I was able to do that. So again, I just have a lot of experience losing animals, and that was so beautiful. And if you don't give yourself the chance to grieve, it just stays there and is just bottled up. So you might as well just go through it, because it does get easier, as we know. Of course, you could cry, you know, thinking about different animals if the situation is right for it, but it's nothing like what I was feeling yesterday. And today I've just been on my rant. I'm going to do my podcast. I'm going to start Needless Mondays again. So I'm all amped up with getting on my mission and bringing Juicy into my mission. So in summary, I want to thank Juicy for all of the loyalty, joy, and unconditional love that she gave me. And I know that the love never ends. And if you know of anybody that's grieving, you might want to forward them this episode and give them the tip to do something as a tribute to them. You know, it doesn't have to be going vegetarian, which is what I did, but giving up a bad habit, you know, when you do it for someone else, I've talked about this in the past on other episodes of mine. It happens supernaturally. It is a miracle when you do it through your heart and supercharge it by quantum entangling it with Jesus. Whatever it is that you're trying to do, when you do it with love in that scenario, it just manifests. It's not that you need willpower to, like in my case, never have a hot dog again. It was something that I never desired ever again. So, anyways, I hope that you will tune in to my next episode, where I'm going to be talking about Scared Skinny, overcoming the epidemic of fat in America while saving the world, which is my mission about why giving up meat isn't just about us, but about saving lives, protecting the planet, and even overcoming the epidemic of obesity in America. And to finally end this, I'm going to close with Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So the Lord's word never comes back void. So put that verse on a index card, carry it around with you, read it, and he will comfort you. He can supernaturally heal your heart if you just go through the stages of grief and turn to him, and not to things like alcohol, numbing yourself. So anyways, I hope to see you next time, and I hope that you have a beautiful day. Thank you for listening to my story. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty and check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.